Glad that he was led to Calvary as a sheep for the slaughter, that he chose to do it, that he didn't have to. He knew all I had to offer him was a mess, yet he willingly took my mess. Why? Because he loved us. And he said, that's all right. Come as you are. Cast all your care upon him. Come unto me, all you that are burdened and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And he did it willingly. Doesn't that just... He's just such a beautiful character, isn't he? Jesus Christ. It's one thing to have power. It's another thing to have the character that he has to go with it. God, make me ever like your son. Make me just like him. Amen. 2 Peter this morning. Pray we're all good and loosened up. Hear the word of God. Got all the ground in our hearts opened. Said, Lord, I'm not here to just, you know, lay around or fill my time, but Lord, I believe your word's coming, and it's coming, it's supposed to come in my heart. And I pray it's all tilled up today. I said, Lord, put in there what I need, not what I want, but tell me what I need to hear. Give me truth. Is that your desire today? Hallelujah. 2 Peter. Let's just read right here. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly to the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. We're still talking about the original has returned. I'd like to preach this morning on building by revelation. Building by revelation. So let's bow our heads together. Say, Heavenly Father, I've got a desire in my heart today. As we approach the Word of God, I believe, I've got faith to know that the Word is what's going to satisfy my need today. Would you like to raise your hand and say, Father, that's me today. God bless each one. He sees your hands. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the gathering of your saints again today. And as I believe, Lord, the Word said we're already gathered into heavenly places, that we're two or three would come together in the name of Jesus Christ, that you would be here in our midst, Lord. And I believe that those sons of God that are standing here now were there from the foundation of the world. And Lord, may that joy that was there, that peace that we had when it was all already done, and we've dropped into time, and how quickly we forget these promises, these precious promises that you've given to us, that we are restored back, Father, that we don't have to succumb to the pressures of this life. We don't have to be sick. We don't have to be depressed. We don't have to keep our mouths closed, but we can open them for the glory of God. We can open our hearts, Lord, that you could express your love through us to a dying world. We pray that today, God, that you'll just erase our souls of any blackness, Lord, of anything that Satan has got the advantage on us. And we pray that the blood would wash us clean, that the Word would come and wash it away by the water of the Word, and it would just drive it away by revelation. May you open the eyes of every person that's here to this thought that you've placed on my heart,
that'll unlock the power of God to every Christian. Grant it to us, we pray. May you be glorified in this service. May us just fall in the shadows, Lord, of your might and power. Have the preeminence in this place, we pray. We give the service to you. Lord, speak through my lips, but God, hear through all of our hearts. We ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Talking about building by revelation. We've spoken on for, this is part 31 now. Some of you here Wednesday, I said 30, and now we're on 31. Of the original has returned, and we've painted a pretty good picture. If you go through, you know, some of you actually listen to sermons more than probably I have. I don't know. Sometimes listening to yourself gets kind of old. I don't know. Maybe it's just a preacher thing. You get, man, I just sound like an idiot there. And why'd I say it like that? And I'm, you know, you all love me enough. I know you don't see none of that at all. But Brother Andrew's got a mirror and he sees himself. So anyways, we're talking about the original has returned. And many times we paint the picture and it's absolute the bride of Christ. This is the age of the bride of Christ. She is to not succumb to a less revelation than what God has given to her. She is the all in all in this age. It is a full restoration. The original blueprint of God has been restored back to the bride of Christ. Everything that Adam had in the garden, the authority he had, the character he had, the power that he had, the love that he had, has been restored back because God promised he would do it. He promised it in Malachi 4, he promised it in Luke 17, 30, he promised it in Revelations 10 that he was going to do this, and he has fulfilled that. We are not looking for another message. We're not looking for another messenger. You're not looking for Brother Andrew to bring you something that hasn't already been given. All we're doing is sitting like the captains did under Joshua. We are here to fulfill the commission that was already given to us. We're not here to do anything else but go slay giants and get the land. Because footsteps means possession. Instead of sitting around on our hands too many times, saying, well, if God really wanted me to overcome, I'd overcome. Brother, it don't work that way. And then we're talking about revelation today. We'll get there in a minute. But we need to learn that we want to be this. We've got the statue of a perfect man right here. And I don't want to go into that just so much today. But I do believe we should talk about it. And we see these things. We see faith, virtue, knowledge, and on and on and on. And many times the Christian gets very discouraged very quickly because he can't help but be a legalist too many times. Saying, well, praise God, if I'm really Christian, I should have patience. And they just go out there and say, I'm going to have patience. And the first thing you know, you're flying off the handle at any old little thing that happens. Why? Because you're not building the right way. Okay, when Brother Branham preaches the sermon, Statue of a Perfect Man, if you go listen to it, and I understand people got their ideas and going off on tangents. And there are some things that, I mean, even Peter said it about Paul. There are certain things that are just kind of hard to be understood. But the truth anyhow. All right? I believe in this word as the absolute. I don't think we need to add nothing. This Bible is what we base our lives on. You can stamp your life about it. But here's the thing. Any man can read this and come up with anything. And they've done it. That's why you have denominations. Because they've taken the word and they've run off on some tangent. But see, that's the problem. They've built either by legalism, they've built by a private revelation, they've built by intellectualism, they've built by an idea, and that's not how God established His church to be built. And this is the frustration many Christians have gone through because somebody presents how to be a Christian through intellect, through their private revelation that you cannot get. Because you can only get revelation from God. Amen. Hallelujah. And many Christians, and we've had to learn this lesson the hard way, that I cannot follow a man. Right. Glory to God. It's got to be deeper than that. God has called us in this age, the statue of a perfect man, we're called to be that in this age. We're restored back to that same character that Christ had. And it was always in us. That I'm not getting away from predestination by any means. But Brother Branham still said, until you are converted, until you are born again, don't you even try to grow in the Lord. Why? If you're still dead in sin and trespasses, how are you going to grow? Anybody seen a dead plant start growing? It doesn't work. We've got to have a conversion. You've got to have a new birth. And I believe that the seals opened up and revealed, even to the prophet himself, that that conversion is what the Bible spoke of as the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Now, many times that we've talked about it, and I'm just going to teach, I guess, today. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is God using His power, essentially. That's what it is. And God can do that in many different ways. And many times even Brother Brandon would say baptism of the Holy Ghost, and people take that as the new birth. It doesn't necessarily mean the new birth. Listen to me now. It is for the Christian that receives salvation. That is the baptism. That is God's power that has now quickened the seed of God that was in you. And now you can grow into a Christian. But that same power can go anoint a soul that don't have a seed and still produce healing. Ooh, come on now. Or else you got the devil healing somebody. And the devil can't heal no one. Or his kingdom's divided against himself. It's not Benny Hinn's devil heart that's getting anybody healed. His selfish multi-million dollar corporation. That's not what gets anyone healed. It's the faith of this. When the people believe and they know that the Spirit of God has come. And He's there baptizing. Oh, yes, He is. Many people get saved in things like that. Why? Because they got a seed. Glory to God. That's it. Glory. But I believe that the church is not only to be converted, but it's to be mature. It's to know what to do with thus saith the Lord. To know what to do when the baptism in a service comes down. Not fly off on tangents. That, oh my, you know, it's only the presence of God when we all shout and scream and run. Now, many times we're supposed to be shouting, screaming, and running, and we don't because we're too legalistic the other way. Well, if God really wanted me to worship, He'd really anoint me, not... It's foolish, but we all get that way. Somebody's got to come prime me, you know. If the preacher says it a certain way, then I'll get excited today. If we sing the right kind of songs, oh, then I can get worshiping and actually tap my Methodist foot a little bit. Well, see, that's why all that's got to fall away. We need to build upon revelation. What's the revelation that I came to church with? Praise God, I'm His son. Praise God, He redeemed me. Praise God, no matter what happens, I'm saved today. I've got something worth shouting about. I don't care what I feel like. I feel good. Why? Because I got a revelation. I got a revelation that when I was in sin and trespasses, when I didn't have a way back, God made a way for me. When I needed to die for my sins, God made the choice for me. And when Christ laid down His life, we laid down our lives with Him. The prophet said that. He said, when the fullness of the Godhead bodily was in that man, in there, God made me die for my sins. He made me pay for my sins in Christ there. Glory to God. Whew. All right. So before we get in it, we've got to learn in all of our lives, you need to build by revelation. You need spiritual revelation from God. You do not need to ever be an intellectual believer. See, we think intellectual believing means that you're just a smart person, or you know a lot of quotes, or you can put a lot of scriptures together. That's not being intellectual. I've met many dummy heads that are intellectual believers. That don't know a lick of Scripture, but they trust in their intellect for revelation. And that ain't how it works. And if you're a smart person, just like Paul said, he said, I had to forget everything. He said, if you are wise in this world, become a fool so you can be used of God. Because you've got to learn that God doesn't work in the realms of intellect. He works in the realms of revelation. Because without God interpreting the word to you the way He intended it, you will get Eve's interpreter. Which sounds good. Which will produce a seed. Which will have signs following. But there's that little bit of error that you just kind of have to, you know, sweep it under the rug. God help us now. Now, before we get too legalistic, let's go back here and read. In 2 Peter, we're talking about building this image. How many wants to be like Jesus? How many believes the inner man is. How many knows that all you're trying to do is get the outer man out of the way so this man on the inside that loves the Lord, that loves your brother and sister, that ain't got no ill to nobody, can come out of your mouth. You know, Jesus said that about the serpent seed. He said, why do you, being evil, say good things, you bunch of hypocrites? Well, Christian, how about you being good? What are you doing saying all these evil things, you hypocrite? When you allow other things besides the Word to come out of your mouth and you truly receive the Holy Ghost, you're a hypocrite. Why? Because that's not the man on the inside. That's somebody else. And last I checked, that man is dead. Glory. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. Past tense. So before we get anywhere, this message, even the one I'm bringing today, is not get converted. You need to be converted. Because until you've been converted and you've received like precious faith, there's no reason to keep going on. You know why? Because you will build upon the wrong foundation. You will build upon your intellect. You will build upon somebody else's revelation. You will build upon a church experience. Oh, come on. You will build upon sensation. You will build upon emotion and thoughts and feelings, and it will get you nowhere. And then you'll keep going around saying, why does this keep crumbling? I was trying to do it right. No, to them that have obtained like precious faith. Not any faith, the faith of the Son of God. That the Word of God is the absolute, everything else is a lie. So to those, and I believe you have, if you've received the Holy Ghost, that faith is not only there, it is alive. It has been quickened by God's power and His predestinated time. The fullness of time for you has come. And God sent His Son to you to bring life to your seed. Amen. And that's the foundation down here. I believe that Brother Branham says it time and time again. He'll get preaching on Statue of Perfect Man. He'll get up to the patience or something, and he'll stop and backtrack and say, give me a second, let's go back one more time. If you still a blackbird, don't try to put in any peacock feathers, because it ain't going to work. You need to know that you're a peacock. Then you can already bear these things. And we're going to get to some quotes here that's going to make this real strong. But it is by grace, brother, sister. Don't you never try to work it up. Don't you try to get... We get the wrong kind of zeal. We get this immature zeal and we just spin our tires around. It's, I know who I am. I know who He is. And I love Him so much, I'm going to serve Him. I'm not trying to please Him. I've got... let me say that the right way. I'm not trying to gain His favor. I have it. I'm not trying to get married. I'm already married. You know, we think we're still trying to date Christ. He already done put the band on before you even were there. Glory. To them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So absolutely, the atonement is the only way this even came to be. Even though we were sons of God, even though we were in Him before the foundation of the world, in the body that we lived in, all being a part of Adam, when he fell, we all fell with him, and thus we would have to die for our sins. But like we said earlier, when God took all of Himself and put it in one man named Jesus Christ, the same as Adam had Eve packed away in his heart somewhere, don't you try to explain it. Don't use your intellect to come up with some crazy idea about it. That's the truth of it. Eve didn't have her own name. Eve didn't have her identification. All of her was Him. And that's what we've been restored back to, brother, sister. All that we are, we don't have our own name. We were given a name. There was no Adam and Eve. It was Adam and Adam. There's no Jesus and, you know, this lesser little bride in the corner here. It's all the same name. Glory. To them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Aren't you happy? He made the choice to save you and die. Thank you, Lord. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. How? Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Which we understand, the knowledge of God and who Jesus is the revelation, it's the foundational revelation upon all Christian experience after that. It's not intellectual. I've tried to get people to see that even in the message. They'll try to figure out Trinity and figure out oneness and all these things. And all they're doing is beating at the air. All they're doing is letting the devil get them on a rabbit trail on this quote, running this way. And then they'll read the scripture and be over on this road. You've got to come back and get the revelation. You've got to get it from God, and God has restored it back through Malachi 4. We don't have to worry about Trinity now. It all makes sense once you have a revelation. And not just any revelation, the revelation of who He is. See who Christ is. Once you see who He is, you automatically will see, start seeing who you are. Because you are a part of Him. When we look at words where God looks plural, and before you think, well, how does that make any sense? We're not Trinitarians. I don't believe Jesus and God are two different people. And you're right. That's heresy. It is. There's not, God didn't, He's the Savior. Jesus is the Savior too. In the Bible, there's only one Savior. Well, then what in the world? Why is Elohim a plural word? Come on now. El is God. Elohim is a plural for God. Where is that plural coming from? And then you begin to see when the revelation comes. Glory to God. And Brother Josiah showed me this. I like it. God in the span of eternity was just a white light going around. Big circle. No start, no stop, never anything. It's just white. And then God allowed time to come. Remember, He had to allow it. He allowed sin to enter. And what was it? It was a prism. You know what a prism does? It took that white light that was coming around, and just for that little space of time, it broke the light up into different colors. The light never changed, but now you could see different attributes. So all those attributes that were in God, of being a Savior, of being a Redeemer, of being a healer, of being Brother Kent, of being my dad, and being the brothers and sisters, it was all locked away, and it was all just one thing. You couldn't tell the difference. But then time came. And then redemption was fulfilled. And it began to spread the light out. And to say, yeah, it's the same light, but they're a little bit more red than I am. and then what do we get doing? We'll get all denominational about it and say, well, if you were really the bride, you'd be red, not blue. You would know that you're supposed to only have one organ, not two. And people split on stupider things than that. You better believe it. But that's the point. When we break it down, Brother Bram said like this. When we go to the ice cream place, somebody gets chocolate, somebody gets vanilla. Some people like Superman ice cream, whatever. The point is we're all eating ice cream. And if you just allow us to have our little flavor, and it ain't outside the confines of ice cream. And don't give me that sherbet now. That ain't no ice cream. That's, I don't know what that stuff is. Hybrid. But as long as we're all eating the Word... It's the Word. Amen. And we'll get so wrapped up in these little things that a brother sees a little bit different than another brother. And it's really easy. Actually, it's easier for ministers to start doing that and start building up complexes. And you know why the devil does that? Because if he can instill a complex in a minister, he's got a complex instilled in the whole church. And then he'll get that complex instilled in everyone that they influence in that church. And before you know it, you've got a mess. I mean, he's been a part of that before. I've seen that before too many times. But see, we ain't called to that. And God is, even all that mess that you might have been in, I've been in, God is restoring the church back. One person by one person, one stage by one stage. Wherever you are tonight, just say, Lord, bring me the next one. That's what I'm interested in. Amen. Through the knowledge, grace and peace be unto you through the knowledge of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, according as His divine power hath, oh my, not given it to us. He hath already given unto us all things. Can you say all things? All things. So what are we looking for? It's already there. It's already given. You're waiting. Oh God, you know, I need a revival. Where is it? Life and godliness. He's given us all things through the knowledge of, given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. I want to live for God. I want to be like God. There you go. He already has given to you. How? Not by the working of our intellect. Not by our ability to search it out and get it figured up just right. If you are on that rabbit trail, and I have been there myself, you get all confused and muddled up and nothing seems to come out right. I'm here to tell you that you need to back up the train and just get back in fellowship with God because you left Him a station or two ago. God doesn't work that way. When we get to heaven, you think we're going to still be trying to figure God out? You think we're still going to be looking for... We ain't Greeks now that are just sitting around waiting for the next new thing to talk about. Yeah, that's kind of how we are as Gentiles. Just looking for something to blab on about. And oh, that's interesting. And all. No, we need to come back to just living. Just live life. Who cares what's on the news feed? How about we live for life? Let's live. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. So where does that put your legalism? Right there. And you know what it does? It throws it out the window is what it does. Because He gave us great and precious promises. It's by believing the promises of God that His nature begins to manifest out of you. When we begin to say, well, I would do what I know God wants me to do, but I just, this thing is just too hard. I just can't do it today. He'll understand. I'll wait till tomorrow. God help us, but we catch ourselves that way too many times. What is it? You left faith way back here and you took a detour at reasoning. And let's just bring it right down to the pastor. You know, I could have something strike my family. And I'm going to tell you right now, if it's the devil, it'll be on a Sunday and a Wednesday. You can rest sure of that. My wife, I mean, we've actually had, I don't know why, we just had a conversation about it a little while ago. You know, if she got sick or something, had to go to the hospital, we've already discussed, during church time, she'd have enough faith to say, go. Go to church. I'll be all right for a few hours. Yeah, come back right away, but go to church. And I love her enough that I know by revelation, that's the best thing I could do for her. By revelation, to always walk in the will of God. It will come out. Why? Because He said, seek ye first the kingdom and His righteousness and all these things. All these things that were already given, you'll begin to see were already given. All these things will be given unto you. Does anybody notice that crisis strikes during church? Before church? After church? It's just the way. Why? The devil ain't dumb. He knows that, you know, you understand. I don't need to go in that no more. He knows that you're trying to serve God. And He knows what will happen when you get out of the house of God. There ain't a Christian here who can live victorious outside of the house of God. Because when you know better. You need to be in the house of God. You know that. It's part of the calling. And just because you're in the house of God don't make you Christian either. I'm not saying that. But if you are a Christian and you love the Lord, you'll be in the house of God. And not just sitting here waiting for the clock to tick around so you can go home. Not just coming here and saying, well, I did my time. No, you're here to do time. You're here to get in the Spirit and say, Lord, I'm here to spend time with You. That's why the prophet taught to get to church early and to get in the Spirit and to pray. And then many of us will say, nah, it's all right. You know, I'll be there 10 minutes late, 50, whatever. It'll be just the same. It ain't just the same. It just isn't. I don't know. I got a revelation of that long time ago. Nobody made me do it. Nobody told me to do it. I just got a revelation about it. And I've had a few instances where, you know, things happened and, you know, I was with some people and we got running late and I run into church and I got 2 minutes in church starting up and I'm getting up to sing and said, whoa, whew, I ain't ready. And then I began to think, you know what? That's what most people do. And it ain't just our church, their church, whatever church. I've seen it in this entire message. You can't hardly find a church just as simple as that is. I ain't talking about being spiritual necessarily either. I'm saying naturally just to even get to church early. Or just to come to church consistently. These little things that we should have got out of our foolishness a long time ago. We should be beyond that. We should be to the point where we are getting down to the core of who we are and everything, every little ism that comes up. Anytime you have a little funny feeling thing, I think, no, you act on it right now and say, brother, come here. Yeah. Give him a big hug and get that funny thing out of there. Right. When the Spirit of God whispers in your ear, go pray for them, and all of a sudden you just do it. Right. See, that's the point we ought to be. But how in the world can the Spirit of God move on you when you just came from running around doing this, that, or the other thing, and you're thinking about work and what you... It just don't work that way. Right. See, we are spiritual beings, but look, you got to understand that we're fighting. We're in a battle. We're here to wage war, which means you got to be tactical. You got to use your advantage. We're not foolish of the devil's devices. Problem is, a lot of times we know and we say, well, it'll be all right. And then you reap for it and you said, man, I knew better. And then if you're not careful, the devil grab you, run you right down that legalistic path of condemnation, and then you're not doing anything for God. Whereby, I guess we'll preach this sermon, maybe, I don't know. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. I got to stop in this next sentence. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So this is where I have a hard time. I've heard this presented as, you know, a sanctification, that this is God cleaning out your heart so He can come in. And that's true as far as being a spiritual believer. We're always sanctifying ourselves. You know, you're always to if you see dark, you need to get out. But I believe when God sanctifies a soul, but you can't escape the corruption of the world until He comes in. Until Christ gets into the soul, you're still in the corruption of the world. How do you prove that? Look at Judas. A man that was justified, a man that was sanctified, but yet because he never got a conversion, that filthiness, that lust of the world, that corruption, he did not escape. He was still in it. He prayed for the sick, they got healed, the baptism was on him, but since he wasn't converted, since he wasn't born again, he never escaped the corruption of the world. So I believe Peter is saying this. This is to Christians. This is to the born again church. This is to the elect of God. I've got a message for you. Because verse 5, and besides this. So Peter has established you are in the faith. You have been given promises that you'll grow into the stature of a perfect man. You've been given the Word of God. You have been given, you've escaped the corruption. You're not in the world anymore. You are a saint. You're not a sinner trying to make yourself a saint. You are a saint that just wants to be a saint. And he says, all right, now that we've got that established, now that we've got the foundation laid, now that we know who we are in Christ, now that we know we've been redeemed, what now? And too many times, we don't have an answer for that. Because honestly, and I feel in this age, it's so hard to get anybody even to that point. How hard is it for you when you talk to somebody just to get them to even repent of their sins? To even confess that maybe, in a slight possibility, they might be wrong. Or show them that the promise of the Word was that Malachi 4 would come in this age. Just, and it's right there. It's black and white, right in the Scriptures. And they don't have an answer, but all they know is that you're wrong. Well, look, I'm here to tell you, if I was taking a test and I was trying to cheat, and all you could tell me was it's not D, then you're not giving me the answer. And I don't really have a whole lot of faith that you really know it's not D or not. Because if you really knew it wasn't D, you'd be telling me it was A. You understand what we're saying. So besides this, so he's establishing that you are converted. How are you converted? Let's just read some scriptures here. Matthew 16. I'm going to go through the Bible for a little while and we'll try to wrap this up. Matthew 16. I've got all these scriptures that I'm sure you're familiar with, but I just like seeing it in the Bible. I like reading it anyways. I've read the Bible a few times here, but I still read it. If it's getting old to you, there's something wrong with you, buddy, but it don't get old to me. Matthew 16:13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give thee unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And he charged the disciples they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. So Peter here, Jesus is asking a pivotal question, not to the masses, but to his disciples. First, he asked them, I think just out of curiosity almost, and he already knew, but you know what I'm saying. Who do men say that I am? The master just has a way of asking things just the right way to get you to get to where you need to be. So he got them nice and comfortable about it. Well, we've heard, Baptists say you're this. Methodists told me this. Tooth Soul told me that. Thunders told me this. Come on now. Pastor so-and-so said this. And I'm trying to wrap this all around, but here you go. You're Elias, you're John the Baptist, your brother Branham, your pastor so-and-so, your bishop so-and-so, your deacon so-and-so, and all these interpretations. So he got that all taken care of right away. And then he brought it down and said, okay, wait, who do you, as an individual, say that I am? And that's where every man has to get, to where it's not me, my church in Christ, me, this brother in Christ, me and this other in Christ. It's me and him. And he's got me in a corner. You'll come to that point, hopefully now. If you wait till judgment, that's scary business. But today's the day of salvation. When you meet him face to face, and he asks you a question, who do you say I am? Now, Peter did not use intellect. He did not reason with these false doctrines. He didn't even waste time. He went by what was already revealed to him. He just let it come out. And we know that he didn't really fully grasp it yet. But yet the revelation, it was there. Why? He's predestinated. And that's why he couldn't quite give him the keys until he got the Holy Ghost. Then he said, there you go, now you know. Now you know exactly what you're talking about. Because he said, yes, you're the Son of God. You're the Christ. But then he went and denied him. Then he went and said, I don't know, let's go fishing again. I can't do this, I ain't worthy. But then when the Holy Ghost came, he said, men and brethren, this man that you've killed, that was approved of God, he is both Lord and Christ. And I'm not even going to say that. I heard what he said in Matthew 28:19, but I'm here to tell you, get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Why? The revelation was alive now. And he never built upon anything else but the revelation. Jesus' own words are, you can't build the church except on this one. Amen. He was saying, this is how I will build the church. Amen. On the revelation that Peter just expressed of who Jesus Christ was. Because Jesus Christ, he is building it upon himself. We understand that the Bible says that. But it's not as many people think as far as him being a man. That he was just building it upon him as a man. No, it's who he was. The revelation of who he was builds the rest of the church, because you begin to see that you were in him. Amen. Glory to God. And that's the only way to build. And the apostle said this. Ephesians 2. I've got a few scriptures. And then I want to go a little different angle just for a bit. Ephesians 2. And let's go. Just verse 18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow servants with the saints and of the household of God. So he's establishing the same thing Peter did in 1 Peter. You are out of there. You are now as a saint. You're with God's people. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. So see, there's no point in the beginning to build without the revelation. And you can't build, you can't say you've really got the revelation unless you've received the Holy Ghost. Let me prove that to you real quick here too before we go on. It's Acts 2:21. And then we'll be flipping over to 1 Corinthians. Acts 2:21 says this. And it's very familiar. Many people use it. It says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And many people just say, okay, amen. And most people just, they don't even have a revelation that it's Jesus Christ. And they'll say just the name of the Lord. I called on God, I'm saved. Maybe they even think it's Jesus Christ and say, I called on Jesus for salvation and I'm saved then. But they don't read what the rest of the scripture says. This is the point about interpreting the word, about building on intellect. Anybody could take that scripture and say out of their mouth, Jesus saves me and I confess the Lord and it's done. But the Bible don't say that. You're isolating part of it. You're getting a devil's interpretation that leaves out the rest of the word. Because 1 Corinthians 12. No, I'll wait for turning here. That's fine. 1 Corinthians 12. And we'll start 2. You know that you were Gentiles carried away with these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. So even if your mouth, you frame the words, Jesus is Lord, He saves me, you can't say that the way the Bible wants you to say it to be saved unless the Holy Ghost has come into you. Why? You don't have the revelation of Him being Lord. Because He's Lord, but God the Father, Jehovah, is real Lord. You know, He's just kind of... See, you don't have it yet. But when the Holy Ghost comes, and He opens up to you, oh, the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, I see it. Then you say, oh, He's the Lord. The first man was a living soul, but the second man was a quickening spirit. The second man was the Lord from heaven. And people get a trinity out of that nonsense. How do you get a trinity out of that? He is the Lord of heaven. And He became on earth. And He is the Lord. And when the Holy Ghost comes to you, it gives you the revelation. So when you call Him Lord Jesus, you can call on His name the way that brings salvation to your soul. Because remember, you were always saved. Oh, God had this done. But until you receive the Holy Ghost, you don't have the witness that you're saved. You don't have identification that you're a Christian. But when you do, you can call on the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. And there's no way for you not to be. Glory. Hallelujah. So we use this word revelation. Let me just quote you one more scripture. Actually, we're pretty close, so we'll turn there. 1 Corinthians 3. We're talking about building a house for God, as we just read there. You build the house through the Spirit. So again, how are you going to build if you need to build first, then you get the Spirit to build the thing that you need the Spirit to build? Okay? So we do it through the Spirit. By the Spirit, we mortify the deeds of the flesh. We destroy, that's really the Christian experience. Destroy what's the devil, support what's God. Destroy the devil, and the first guy you need to destroy is the guy in the mirror. And if you'll take care of that, you won't have to worry about the other devils. They get out of there quick. That's right. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 3:9. We are laborers together with God. And oh my, how that makes certain people upset. But God has no hands but ours. God has no ability. Why? Because He chose to. He has no ability to express His word in this age but through the bride. Now that's not because He couldn't have. He could do whatever He wants, but He chose it to be this way. And when God makes a decision, it's always that way. That's right. We are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. And people get upset about Brother Branham. You know, he's a man exalting himself. Paul was a man. Paul was a persecutor of the church. Paul got Stephen killed. And he's saying, I've laid the foundation. I'm the one that did it. He knew where he stood. Even later he said, we're building upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Why? All of them, Peter, John, Paul, they were building the foundation, but we understand it all still came back to that revelation of who Jesus Christ was. But they put the foundation down, and Brother Branham puts it perfectly right there of that faith. This is the faith. There is not another one. Don't, and he says it right here. Let's just read it. Which God has given to me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For no other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The revelation of who God is. He laid that foundation. He said, even after my, take heed, for after I'm gone, grievous wolves are going to come. But let every man's work be tried by fire. And that's where we're at right now. Oh, we've heard I'm the bride, I'm this, and you're servant seed, and I'm not, and they're great. And then God is bringing the fire, and you're watching all those people go off the deep end. Looking for the power of God and waiting for revival, calling on it and working right against it. God sends it. They don't like who it came through. Why? Because God's the one who built this building. And if we try to build it with anything but revelation, it won't stand. That goes down to you as an individual. That goes down to you as a family in your house, building a life for God. That goes to you men making decisions for your household. Don't build on intellect. You ain't smart enough. You need a revelation. You know, when I was getting my job to be a teacher, I filled out applications and things like that. But I could have stressed out. I could have went here pillar to post. But I waited and God gave me a revelation. And I did that. And it came to fruition. See, that's what we need. We need revelation. And we know what Brother Ram said, but are we doing it? Do you pray for revelation more than anything? Chances are, we'll be honest, most of us don't. We pray for, God, let me feel good today. God, you know I need a new house, or I want this, or that. And how about, Lord, what's your will today? Give me a revelation. He'll do it. That's right. And we're talking about faith. We've talked about revelation. And many times we get all these things messed up and make it difficult and hard. But I'm going to read you a few quotes here. Do you got some time this morning? Be a little lengthy here, but Brother Branham speaks on this thought a lot, and I believe we need to. That revelation is faith, and faith is a revelation. That it's the same idea. We try to isolate it, that I don't have to have faith to get a revelation, and then we isolate faith to say I can act in faith without a revelation. So you go wrong either way. Many times we'll say, well, I'm just going to wait here until God gives me a revelation. And there's a right way to do that. But many times it's because you're sitting there in doubt. The revelation can never get to you. Because God can reveal it to you, but you still have to apply faith to it to see it come to fruition. But we can also do the other thing where you say, well, I'm just a bubble of faith. I can do whatever I want. And I've got this thing came to my heart. Well, you need to back it up, make sure it's revelation from the Word before you start acting, because you might have got a devil's revelation. So that's why it has, if it's God's revelation and if it's God's faith, they go together. And let me show you what Brother Branham says. It's anointed ones at the end time. I've got three quotes. I'm going to read them all. What is faith? Faith is something that's revealed to you that is not yet, but you believe it will be. Faith is a revelation of the will of God. So by revelation, and the church today don't even believe in spiritual revelation. They believe in a dogmatic teaching of some system. And don't you dare get so blinded by just, oh, they're in the message, they're this or that. That influence has got into this message, and we don't teach spiritual revelation. We just teach a dogmatic approach. And we'll get some legalistic idea of, well, at least our sisters are dressing nice and wearing long hair. And they're meaner than the snakes. And they hate each other. And they backbite. And they talk bad. And we wonder why there's no power of God coming to anoint that. It's a dogmatic system approach. As long as we pay our tithes and we get baptized in Jesus' name and we adhere to these certain doctrines and we don't talk bad about this or that and we respect this person, but who cares about that guy? We'll throw him under the bus. It's a dogmatic system. And it's crumbling. It's not holding. And many men are trying to come out, even in the message, with programs that are going to save the youth. That ain't what's wrong with our youth. They're not getting to the Holy Ghost. They're not getting this revelation of being a son of God themselves. And that's why they go off the deep end. That's why they'll come to church for a while. The sister will clean up for a little bit. Before you know it, they're right back to the same mess they were, seven times worse than they used to be. The Bible said that's what would happen. We've got to get to where we only build on revelation. Where I know God has made the Scriptures plain to me. Because then you can put faith in it. But don't be afraid when you think, well, if this was really God, there'd be no opposition. There will be opposition. When I started this church, there was plenty of opposition. And I can't say it's all gone, but praise God for what happened here just a little while ago. Thank the Lord. But you have to act. When God shows you, you better act. Many people say, well, I'm just waiting on the Lord, waiting on the Lord. Well, did he? Well, I know that, but you know, I'm just waiting on the Lord. No, you already done waited. It's time to act. If you have understanding, just even right here in the Scriptures, I mean, I'm right there close to it. 1 Corinthians 11, that you sisters know you need to let your hair grow, and you understand that, and you know the Bible tells you to do that, and you can't even pray without doing that. And then you go out of here and say, well, I'm waiting on a revelation. You're lying. That's not how it works. You put faith in the Word that you know is right, and that is the revelation.
Amen.
What gives you the understanding of what that was? The knowledge of the Son of God.
Right.
Amen. Because He is not just, He is the Word. That's what it is. He is all of this. Every revelation from the Scriptures is Jesus Christ. Amen. It's just a dogmatic teaching of some system. By revelation, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than that of Cain, which God testified he was righteous. Amen. I hope you see that. See where we're living? See the hour? I was talking to a gentleman not long ago, a Christian scholar and gentleman. He said, Mr. Branham, we refuse all revelations. I said, then you have to refuse Jesus Christ, for He is the revelation of God. God revealed in human flesh. Unless you see it, you're lost. Jesus said, except you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Did He say that or not? Yes, He did. See, we're not, Herodians or whatever who believe that we just need to have this superior knowledge and then we're saved. That's not the point. The point is, if you don't get the revelation of who Jesus really is, you'll never have an understanding of the importance of His blood and that you need to accept it or you're lost. And that's what the Pharisees did. They said, we're good. I fast. I do what I'm supposed to do. I don't need to worry about this guy over here that's crazy. Why? They didn't believe He was the one. And if you don't believe He's the one, you won't accept Him as Savior. No man can call Him the Lord except by the Holy Ghost. That's right. I said, unless you see, you're lost. I said, except you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. He is the revelation of God, the Spirit of God revealed in human form. If you can't believe that, you're lost. You put Him a third person, second person, or any other person besides God, you're lost. Except you believe I am He, you will die in your sins. It's a revelation. And then when you apply that to the Bible already said this. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that He is and a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Because if you get a revelation of who He is, first you know He exists, and then you know His character, and He will reward those that diligently seek Him.
Amen.
Amen. Let me give you another one here. Works is faith expressed. And this is the one I really want to hit on. Now, faith is a revelation from God. Now, faith is a revelation. That's where I want to stay there just a moment. It's a revelation. He has revealed it to you by His grace. It's nothing you did. You didn't work yourself up into faith. You ever have faith? It was given to you by the grace of God. And God reveals it to you. That's Scripture, by the way. For by faith are we saved, or for by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God.
Amen.
And God reveals it to you. Therefore, faith is a revelation. And the whole church of God, which includes you, is built upon the revelation. A Baptist minister told me not long ago, he said, I just can't accept revelation. I said, then you cannot accept the Bible. How can you say that? You see how crazy that is? The Bible says revelation. There's a book called Revelation. And you say you can't accept revelation. And how can you even logically approach the Bible and say, I believe it? Just like predestination. I've met those that can't say they believe predestination. It says it in the Bible. There's got to be somewhere that's true then. Mercy, goodness. Aren't you happy for Revelation? Thank you, Lord. You cannot accept the Bible. You cannot accept Christ because He is the revelation of God. He's God revealed in flesh. Therefore, the whole church is built upon divine revelation. Jesus said to, I believe it was Peter, He said, who does men say that I am? Let me skip down here a little bit. The prophet said He built it upon Himself. That's the scripture I read earlier. Now, they could be right, but to me, both of them's wrong. It was upon the spiritual revelation of who He was. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, Peter, but My Father, which is in heaven, hath revealed this to you. Upon this rock, the revelation of who He is, upon the revelation, He is the Word, and upon this rock, I'll build My church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. It showed the gates of hell would be against it. So again, when God gives you a revelation, you have to know I'm going to have to act in faith because the gates of hell will be against it. But it can't prevail. That's where you need to rest. The gates of hell. He didn't just say they'd be against it. He said they cannot prevail against it. Amen. Abel by faith, revelation. No Bible written in those days. by faith, offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than that which Cain, which God testified He was righteous. How? By faith. How? By revelation. By revelation, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice because it was revealed to him that it wasn't fruits of the field, it was the blood. So you see, the knowledge itself, the revelation itself, isn't what saves them. It's not what saved Abel. It's not what saved us just to say, well, I know he's the Son of God. No, it's what that revelation will produce. Just with Christ, the revelation of who He is will make a man receive Him as Savior. The revelation that Abel got, that it wasn't fruit in the garden, made him give blood instead. So the revelation is the means by which you will do the action that produces what the Word said you were supposed to.
Amen.
And here we are in the bride's age. The revelation of God has come. But you can see those that are really receiving it because it produces the action that the bride was predestinated to do.
Amen.
Glory. And I've always thought about that. And how about us? We base it on what we read in the Bible. And I appreciate God giving me the Bible. But without revelation, God has never changed His standard. You had to accept His Word. But yet it wasn't written down. How did Abel do this? By revelation. And God didn't have to change the standard because He wrote the Word. Actually, if anything, it should just make it easier on us. Because we can go back and say, there it is, there it is, there it is. Abel just had to go with, by faith, pure faith, this is the will of God. I know it. I see it. I've got a revelation, and I've got the faith to put it into action. Glory. All right, here's where we're getting to. This is where I wanted to hit. Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice because it was revealed to him that it wasn't fruits of the field, it was the blood. That's why some people can believe it. Some can't believe it. Some try to make believe it. In an audience of people where a prayer line comes through, you'll find, and they were all good people, we'll say, there's some that's trying hard to believe it, trying to work themselves into it. Some just can't do it at all. And others, it's just by grace. It's just given to them. Now, there is a difference. See, that does it. That's the real revelation. Because faith is a revelation from God. It must be revealed first. And my, oh my, how the legalists will get mad at that. And say, what makes you good enough to get healed today? How come you spoke in tongues and I didn't get to? How come you've seen visions and I didn't? Because I've got the revelation that I'm a son of God. Literally, a son of God. That's not a shadow. That's not a type. I am His offspring. Which means I have the same life. You know, you might... I've shown you in the Bible, I think it's Hosea 2. The Bible uses Ishi and Bali or something, but it says, in that day they won't call me anymore Lord. They'll call me husband. And my, many people even might have a revelation of Jesus being Lord, and they might even be saved in the end. We understand these things that, you know, there'll be a foolish virgin and things, but the bride's not called to just Lord. There's a further revelation. It's what Queen Esther had.
Yes.
I know that man in there. Everybody's afraid of him.
Uh-huh. Glory.
And even I am. Because the Word's still there.
Uh-huh.
But I've got a connection with him nobody else knows about. And everybody else could have said, you're being awfully disrespectful. That's the Lord. Don't talk to him like that. But she could go up there and give him some sweet little nothings. Isn't that right? And he would have loved every minute of it. But somebody else would have said, what in the world are you doing? Here we are. And that'll be right here in this message, too. Don't worry about that. They'll look at you and say, how do you pray like that? You know, don't you have respect in things? And you're just, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. We don't have that around here. Well, you need it. Because Revelation will tell you when somebody's in love with God. That's all there is to it. I mean, I've seen put on worship. I've seen it worked up. Not a lot, but I have. I've seen the other side a lot more. Or, oh yeah, I love God in my heart. Well, let it come out of your heart a little bit. How about it get in your face once in a while? Or maybe in your mouth. Or maybe even in your actions just a little bit. Can you smile once? That's when you know, Christian friend, if we ain't got no joy in our lives, we've left Christ somewhere. I ain't saying you don't have trials and temptations, but there is something about Him. When you know He's there, it doesn't matter. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I know it's just a shadow. And that means light is still shining. Because that's the only way you get a shadow, is light is shining somewhere. And though I'm in this shadow right now, I have to come out of this. And then it makes it, we say easy, but easier. My best day as a sinner is still leaps worse than my worst day as a Christian. Because I'm not walking alone anymore. Hallelujah. Appreciate your patience today. The rapture, 1965. We'll finish here. Now it's a revelation. For revelation is faith. You cannot have a revelation without it being faith. There goes your idea that God's just going to just open it up and you're not going to have to put faith out there and believe it and apply it. No. If it's a real revelation, it's by faith. Faith is a revelation because it's something that's revealed to you. Faith is a revelation. Faith is something that has been revealed to you, like it was to Abraham, that could call anything contrary to what he had been revealed to him as though it wasn't so. Now, faith, that's what faith is. It's the revelation of God. The church is built upon revelation, the whole entire body. Here a few weeks ago, I was talking to a fine Baptist minister. He came up to discuss with me. He said, I like you as a man, but you're all mixed up. I said, then I pray you get me straightened out with the scriptures. He said, we'll never be able, Brother Branham, to get things together till we got every word upon word upon word exactly with the Greek and so forth. That's a lot of message people believe it that way too, that we're just going to get all this and we're going to understand all these words just the way we need to. That's not what God's asking out of us. That's not personal. There's no love to that. That would be like you analyzing your wife's DNA and telling her how beautiful her chromosomes are and all this. It doesn't mean anything to her. How about you just say, I love you, sweetheart? How about we just do that in church instead of coming up with this religious process of how we're supposed to serve God? Maybe instead of praying that way, well, if I fold my hands just this way and I got to do this, how about you just get down and say, Lord, I love you. Appreciate you, Jesus. I just want to spend time with you. You're just so beautiful. You're just so gracious. You're just lovely. Everything about you I adore. I just want to praise you. Glory. So this Baptist minister is telling Brother Branham, like, you know, we'll never get it all straightened up because we'll never get it just right with the Greek and everything else. And Brother Branham says this. I said, oh, sir, you know better than that. I said, even in the Nicaea Council, way back as far as that, 300 years after, from the death of Christ, they were still debating which Greek scholar was right. And you can know it's a revelation. The whole thing, he said, I cannot accept revelation. I said, then how can you accept Christ? He said, why? The Bible said he that believes on Jesus Christ has everlasting life. I said, that is true. It also says that no man can call Jesus a Christ only by the revelation of the Holy Ghost that's revealed it to him. See, there you are. Right back around again. Falls right back to the revelation. It's got to be revealed in the Bible. So I plan with the help of the Lord, if He's leading me this way, I believe that we want to build this statue of perfect man. We want to go through these things and equip the Christian. But the whole time, don't you leave this principle that I'm speaking on today. It has to be revealed to you. It has to be the life of God coming out of you. That by the precious promises of God, I can be a son of God. He's the one that said we were predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's what this message, even Statue of a Perfect Man, is what Brother Brent, that's how he taught it. And I understand as we talk about the sealing of God and the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and we'll go off on these tangents and things. But how Brother Branham applied it is what I'm saying now. He never told anybody when they're trying to get him to the Holy Ghost, oh, you'd get it, but you just ain't got enough patience yet. Or, you'd get converted, but oh, you see that temperance over there? Nope, you don't have it yet. You'll never see that in a prayer line. You'll never see that in an altar call, because that's not what he's getting at when he's preaching on the statue of a perfect man. This message that even these ones coming up, if you ain't converted, it ain't going to be for you. And I don't mean to be mean, but the bride is going to be the bride. And she needs to hear the word for herself. We try to find every soul we can, but we're getting to the time, and we know that the coming of the Lord is at hand. And the bride will know who she is, and God has ordained ministers to preach the word that will get the bride ready. And I'm not here to think up what I need to say or how to say it. God is leading me as He's leading other men of God to get the bride ready for His coming.
Amen.
I hope we find more souls. I'm looking for more souls. But I want every soul under my voice to have the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I want them to walk as Christ walked, to be the bride in this age, because I believe that there's even souls that's got the Holy Ghost that won't grow up into this church or into this statue of perfect man. You won't go in a rapture. You'll have to die. Because the only ones that can have the faith to call down a new body will be those who are walking as sons of God. How else in the world are you going to have faith when you still got temper to fight a buzzsaw? When you ain't got no patience for your brother? Or you can't even love one another? How in the world can you say you love God? And just to solidify one last point, we can even start standing. Yeah, let's stand. Let me just read this, Dad. You can. I had a song in my heart. Let me see if I can remember. He cares for you. That's what I was. It's 116 there. As you play it softly, just listen, please. This is where I don't believe that, you know, we see the Holy Spirit here up at the top. Brother Branham wrote it that way. I don't believe that that's just the conversion. I believe that's the point where you walk as He does. I believe the conversion is being born again. It's the baptism of the Holy Ghost down on your soul that converts you from death to life. Then you're to build character. I don't believe we build anything for God until we get converted. And I believe what we're to build is the character of Christ. And Brother Branham, you might know this quote, but this is where I established this idea in the Word of God. He says this. Let me just read a scripture that he's got here. Romans 8, 17, 18 says this. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Unless we suffer with Him, we cannot reign with Him. You have to suffer to reign. The reason for this is that character simply is never made without suffering. Character, do you believe that's the character of God over here? Character is a victory, not a gift. Acts 2:38. Repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So if I have to build up something that's a victory that I've made accomplished to get a gift, it's not a gift anymore. It became a reward because I did something to earn it. That's why I believe that conversion has nothing to do with what I'm going to be speaking on. It's after you're converted. It's after God. We receive salvation as a gift. You don't earn it. If you're trying to earn the Holy Ghost, you'll never get it. You'll never get it. You'll just get frustrated and everything else. But once you've received it, once God's given you revelation, we become accountable. And that's where the trying time comes. That's where the Bible says, he that overcomes will have these things. We'll be given these rewards. We can receive rewards. Jesus or Paul said that. It's in the Bible. You don't want your rewards to be taken away. I mean, I just really want to get to heaven. But I'm pretty sure if God says I can get a reward, I want that reward. I don't want to go down like Saul. backslid. Still saved, but backslid. Trying to kill my brother over here. Holding a grudge. And God's got to take me off the scene. I don't want to stop at patience and then say, forget it. I'm done. I'm not going to be like God. I'm not going to love my brother like myself. I'm out of here. And God has to take me off the scene. I don't want to be like that. And I think the church of God in this age don't either. They say, Lord, I want to love my brother like you do. And even some of us, we need to learn to even love ourselves like God does. That even in your mess, He loves you. Even your mess today, He loves you. And then as we begin to love one another, that's brotherly kindness. As I said, I plan the help of the Lord to go through these things. Pray for revelation. God shows you what it really means. Say, Lord, let's not go off one tangent or another. Don't make me a legalist where I can't even get the victory. But don't make me get so lax that I don't even try to serve you anymore. Keep me right on the word. And make me to where I love my brother, which we know brotherly kindness is right there, so you can fit it right with the love of God, which is perfectly scriptural. You say you love God and don't love your brother, you're a liar. But our love for each other, as you can feel in the room, you think about one another, you love each other, it's a perfect reflection of the love that God has for us and what we should have for Him. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads together. Thank you, Lord. Brother, sister, we reverence God's presence that's in the building now. I know you believe that. Thank you, Lord. Maybe, Christian friend, you've tried to build on intellect or on feelings or emotions or ideas. And you recognize that, Lord, I've made a mess of this building. But I'm coming to you today, Lord. Say, Lord, whatever's not revelation, burn it up right now. And let me start with what I know is the Word. When you converted my soul, when you gave me the Holy Ghost, I'll go back to that. And if that's all that's left, that's all that's left. God bless you, brother. God bless you, brother. Thank you, Lord. Hey, Lord, just forgive me. Take that away. And let the fire of God that's in this building right now, God bless you, brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. Let it just burn that. Now apply that faith that made you raise your hand. Say, Lord, I'm just laying it down. I'm just believing that. And go back, brother, because you know what Jesus or Brother Branham said about Jesus. You don't know where he is, he's back where you left him. That's all he is. Go back to the thing that you know by faith is true. If that's all the way right back to the baptismal pool, we'll go all the way back there. If it was something that God did for you years ago, and you left them there and you began to reason with what God did in your life, and maybe I'm not really saved, maybe I didn't really get the Holy Ghost, and all those things, you left him back there. It's time to go back, brother. It's time to go back, sis. If there's anyone here who would say, Lord, I want to receive the Holy Ghost today. Before we start trying to build, I want to make sure I've got a foundation to build on. Is there anyone that would say that's me, Lord? God bless you, brother. God bless you, brother. Hallelujah. God bless you, sis. God bless you, sis. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now just let the Holy Spirit that's here now, We're having an altar call, whether you think so or not. It's here. As many as were ordained, believed. And as the words come, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost began to fall on those that believed the word. Hallelujah. I don't care if you're two. I don't care if you're 200. If you can believe the word now, accept it for yourself. And say, Lord, I just believe this. I believe this was for me today. That I can have revelation. I can have faith. That I've already got it. That these precious promises that you gave me, Lord, as I put my faith in them, it will produce what I want to be. And I can quit running off on these tangents and reasoning and saying, I got to do this, or I got to stop this, or this is what it is. The devil's got you on a checklist, and every time you get it checked off, there's another 10 more to get written on the bottom. Say, Lord, just give me revelation. Brother, if it's a TV, it's still around kicking you around. Say, God, give me a revelation. Let me get it out. Hallelujah. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, how we appreciate you today, Lord. How I appreciate you even coming and speaking your word to us today. I pray that revelation would strike all our hearts now. As the word's gone forth, the water of God would be here and quicken that word into all our hearts. That we'll begin to take our mind and to let all our thoughts just dissipate. And let the mind of Christ rule in our lives. That if we can't put our feet down on thus saith the Lord, then we need to go back and find where we left you, Lord. Grant this to each believer that's here. Give them joy. Give them peace. Heal them, Lord, of their sicknesses. As you want our body, you want us to prosper in our bodies, even as our soul prospers. Take away their condemnation and confusion by the blood of the Lamb. And may revelation even cause repentance that needs to happen. Things need to be made right. God, you show them by revelation. So they act in faith and it produces the works of God. Grant it, Lord, I'm just presenting these souls to you. This little group of people that I know love you, Father. I pray that the devil be exposed in every facet of all their lives. And they live victorious for you. As they've raised their hands, as they've confessed the word, may you now quicken that word to each heart. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and believe it, Lord. Amen.
There is for you. He careth for you. Through sunshine or shadow, He careth for you.
Thank you, Lord.
Careth for you. He careth for you. Through sunshine or shadow,
get out of my brother. May it recover, Lord, for your glory. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Lord Jesus, we say, pray, Lord, that you'll help the Lord. The Spirit would come, restore my brother to the fire that he had for you, Lord, that he'd serve you with all his heart, that the devil would just be defenseless against him. You'd be able to defeat him in every facet. Give him revelation, give him faith, give him peace, that it's settled, that he can serve you again as he desires in his heart. May it come out of his heart and live in his life, we pray. Restore my brother, I ask, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Oh, just worship Him. Just thank Him for what He's done even here today. Oh, praise be to God in the highest. Oh, praise be to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, you can give me shouting, dancing. Give me truth. Oh, I appreciate what's happened today. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, praise God. Brother Kim.
Say we lay hands on the sick, they'll recover, Lord. I believe your word, and I believe the most important thing for a Christian is to be on fire for you, Lord. That if that goes, everything else could be good, but nothing's good anymore. I pray, Lord, for my brother as he's come back to you. Restore him, Lord, to that peace, to that love, to that joy by revelation. May there be nothing of the devil but that has been exposed and driven away from him, that he'll walk in that perfect love and have the peace of God. As he's confessed it to you, Lord, I believe he's forgiven for just the unbelief, and it's all gone. You've sent this word today to restore him back. Fulfill it now, my brother, I pray, as I agree with him. In Jesus Christ's name.
Yes. I want. Such a beauty.
think on Him. Just thank Him. Say, Lord, praise You. I love You. Oh, Jesus, just give Him some worship today. Oh, You're wonderful, Lord Jesus. Thank You for peace, love, joy, mercy today. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Glory, glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. I just feel to leave this presence as is. Don't really have any announcements. And I'll just hand service to Dad. Let's just worship Him. And just thank Him for what He did for you today. Love Him with all your heart. Don't ever doubt Him again. Believe His Word. We love you, saints. God bless you today. I'll let you be dismissed on that. We love you. Go ahead, Dad.
Oh, and I.